Mr. Whiteman, R1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Hornsey, North London, on January the 31st, 1931.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Hornsey?
No, I was evacuated during the war, and my main schooling was at Ipswich School with my elder brother, and then eventually to King Edward VI School, Norwich, most of my schooling was done in Norwich.
Were you evacuated right at the beginning of the war?
No, it was some little while, I think, into the war, and my father had died at a fairly early age, and my mother married again. And my stepfather was in the Royal Norfolk Regiment, and he did some service in Africa, and then he came back and was involved with army duties and coastal defences along the Norfolk and Lincolnshire coastline.
What was your stepfather's surname?
W-E-S-T-E-R. Captain Leonard Weston.
So were you evacuated as an individual child?
Yes. I had an elder brother and two younger sisters. And the youngest sister is actually a stepsister. And because of the nature of his work, and also because he was our stepfather, we were sort of sent away to boarding schools. It just so happened, for instance, my elder brother was at Ipswich School, my younger sister Anne was at Felixstowe College, and young Wendy, the youngest one, was at various schools, but away from London.
Was your experience of evacuation a good one or not?
From my point of view, yes, very much so. And particularly at the grammar school at Norwich, as a builder, I thoroughly enjoyed my school life. My academic qualifications were not quite so good, but I seem to be fairly good at most of the sporting activities.
Were evacuee children from London accepted in East Anglia or not?
Yes. I don't think that particularly the evacuees from London went to East Anglia. From what I can remember, most of them went further afield and more to the sort of West Country and Wales. But in my particular case, it just so happened that my mother and my stepfather were moving around that sort of area. And then come school holidays, I might have been going to Wroxham or Salem or Seapawling. Any of those sort of areas.
Were you personally accepted by people in Norfolk and Suffolk?
Yes. And I was a little bit fortunate. I had an aunt and an uncle, and he was the canon of Bungay. And Norwich wasn't all that far from Bungay, and on a Sunday I used to cycle over there for Sunday lunch.
You used to cycle from where to where?
From Norwich to Bungay. Not very far, about 14, 15 miles probably.
Did you experience any bombing by the German Air Force in Ipswich or Norwich?
I do remember, particularly I remember Doodlebugs in Norwich, the grammar school is right next to the cathedral. And the cathedral bishop's palace, one particular time, was taken over by the American forces. And also in Norfolk, there were a tremendous amount of airfields, both English and American. And whilst we did get bombed, not very, very heavily in Norwich, towards the latter stages of the war, we seemed to get quite a lot of the doodlebugs. And we used to watch them at night out of our dormitory window, and you could see the fire at the tail there. And then as soon as you saw that go out, it was time to sort of get under the bed or get down in the shelter. And the other experience that I particularly remember of the bombing was the V2 rockets towards the latter end of the war. I remember my church service on a Sunday morning in our chapel, and without any warning at all, this massive explosion and debris and glass and what have you, and it was nowhere near the school, but the fossa that was quite big really, and very, very scary, because you didn't actually know anything about those. They just there was no warning of those like there was with the doodlebug or the bombing. You knew the aircraft were coming over and that sort of thing, and the alarms would go. But with the V2 rockets, they just arrived.
This was a V2 that hit Norwich?
Yes.
Where did it hit?
I'm not quite sure. I can't remember that. But I never forgot, as a schoolboy, the shock of that. It left a sort of a lasting memory that, my goodness me, you know, there's something now that you they can launch, and you don't even know that it, you know, where it's going or when it's going to arrive. And
where do you think the V weapons were being aimed at?
Possibly not. Norwich, I presume really they were more towards the London and the dock areas. But I can't say offhand how many actual rockets there were within the Norwich area, but I particularly remember this first one when it arrived.
Were you in Norwich in 1942 when the so-called Baedeker raid on Norwich took place? You would have been 11, I think.
No, I don't think I was there then.
Was there any bombing in Ipswich which you experienced?
Yes, we had. The thing I remember about that is the shelters in the school grounds, and we used to have to, every time the air raid siren went, we used to have to go down into these shelters. But I don't remember any bombs sort of going anywhere near Ipswich Grammar School.
It was called Ipswich Grammar you went to, was it? Was it called Ipswich Grammar School?
Yes, Ipswich Grammar School.
How frightening were the German raids, as far as you were concerned?
As a young lad, I suppose we were frightened, but at the same time, there was a certain amount of excitement about it. But the B-2 rocket, I must say, it must have made some sort of impression on me, because I've never actually forgotten that. And I mean, I can think of looking out of the dormitory window and seeing these doodle bugs go by and feeling quite excited about that.
Do you remember any specific streets or buildings which were hit in either Ipswich or Norwich?
Not specifically, no. My recollection is that possibly some fell near the cathedral, and possibly in the bishop's grounds.
Did you experience any German air attacks whilst you were in London?
No, I've really not got much recollection of that. And I think because of our situation and my schooling, most of the time I was away at a boarding school somewhere or other.
Was the war an unpleasant time for you, or a happy time, or what?
Well, I can't honestly say that it was an unpleasant time, because nothing really unpleasant happened to me, and my schooling side, particularly at Norwich, for me was a very, very happy time. And I think possibly because of our family situation and the fact that I had a stepfather, I was quite glad to get away, get back to school. And whilst aware of the war and what was going on, I can't say that anything really horrific happened to upset me at all.
Was there any privation for you during the war?
Any
privation? Any lack of things that you needed, everyday
yes.
things?
But possibly no more than anybody else, and we're up to Christmas now, and I see the things that the children have now, and then ours was hang a stocking up, and you were lucky if you got an orange and a few nuts, and maybe one present. But today, and I did this for my family included. It became too much more commercialised, but yes, there was some, I used to really look forward to my mother's letter, and not so much the letter, but the 2 and 6 months postal order that she used to send me. I think I used to get that nearly every week. Of course, all things that children like the sweets and chocolate and all that. Some of the chocolate was almost unattainable, and sweets were on the ration. Just over from the school, past the what was called the Samson and Hercules, was our little tuck shop, tucked away in one of the very old streets in Norwich.
What was the Samson and Hercules?
It was a dance hall. It's almost opposite the, it's opposite the grammar school, and almost opposite the entrance into the cathedral.
Is that in a street called Tombland?
Yes, that's it. Yes.
And there was a dance hall called the Samson and Hercules?
Yes, we called the Samson and Hercules, and they have all just slightly happened.
Well, I was there yesterday, and I didn't notice it then.
possibly because it's not called the Samson and Hercules anymore. But they're not two pillars, two gentlemen, standing up with the entrance doors on the other side of the road.
Maybe it was just my lack of observation.
Ah.
Now, were there any celebrations in Norwich at the end of the war?
My recollections of that are not really very clear. There obviously there was celebrations, as there was sort of universally throughout the country, but I haven't got any particular recollections of street parties or anything.
Did the schoolboys have anything to do with the foreign servicemen in the area?
Not so much the schoolboys, I don't think, but certainly the teenagers, female teenagers, and particularly like the American forces, particularly for their nylons and other goodies.
Now, can you tell me how you came to be in the forces yourself?
Yes, I was fairly aesthetic at school, and I was I thought I was fairly fit, but unfortunately, when I was about 6 or 7, I had my spleen removed. I was born with jaundice, and in those days the operation was quite a serious operation, and I think I was in the Royal Northern Hospital for about 6 months. I had made up my mind after I came out of hospital that I was going to get involved in sports. And unfortunately, it does something to control the red and the white corpuscles. And when I went for a call-up and went for my medical, I couldn't believe it when I was turned down going grade 4. And I didn't... I had this stepfather who was a captain in the Royal Norfolk Regiment during the war, and I think it must have preyed on my mind a little bit, and I was determined to somehow or other get into the Royal Norfolk Regiment. And I went to Millbank Hospital and underwent fairly extensive tests. And in the end, they said, well, we don't see any reason as to why you shouldn't go in, but you have to volunteer. And in those days, the least you could volunteer for was 5 and 7 on the reserve. And I volunteered, and that's I knew that the Korean situation was going on, and so that was... I was hoping that I would get involved in that.
When was it that you joined the regiment, do you think?
I joined on, I think I've got it, just of April 1951. Yes, 5th of April.
And where did you have your basic training?
Based in Edmonds.
What was it like?
I didn't find it too bad, actually, because when I was at school, I was involved with the school army cadet, and so I had done a little bit of army cadet training. So the actual square bashing didn't actually come as too much of a shock to me. And possibly the fact also that I'd been away at the boarding school most of my school life, and I'm quite used to not being at home.
How were you treated by the people in charge of the basic training?
As all recruits, really, I think you get shoved around, but you soon learn to conform.
In what way were you shoved around?
I just think the nature of the basic training in those days was very much an authoritarian and discipline thing, particularly with the barrack room and the square bashing. And if you didn't conform, obviously you were in for trouble.
Were there any instances of that whilst you were doing the basic training?
I remember one particular national serviceman. I can't remember his name or what have you, but I had to. It's stuck in my memory because he worked his ticket, and he didn't conform at all, and they were having a terrible time with him. And in the end, he decided that he would go out onto the hallowed square and feed the chickens. And he would go out there and he would feed the chickens, and then he'd go back, and then he'd go out and feed the chickens again. And he worked his ticket.
What do you mean, feed the chickens?
Pretending to feed the chickens on the hallowed square, as though he was definitely gone off his rocker. And he got his discharge. He didn't do his national service.
What does the phrase "to work your ticket" mean?
Work your ticket means you're called up for 2 years, and you have to do this service. And he'd worked out a way where he would get out on incapacity grounds, mental or whatever. So he worked his ticket. That was an expression used during the, I think during the war, actually.
So he was just pretending to be mad in order to get out of doing national service.
I don't know how he got away with it, but he got away with it.
How do you know he wasn't mad?
No, he definitely wasn't. I remember too much about him, but he was a Cockney lad. He was quite clever. But no, otherwise, basic training and what do I remember about basic training? And the bromide in the tea. and after we'd passed out and we were allowed home for a weekend and not having any money, and I used to hitchhike from Bury St Edmunds to London and just stand on the road there and hitchhike my way back to London. My goodness me, you couldn't do that today, could you? You know? Once I got home, I'd go back on the train because my mother would give me the money to get back to camp. But I hadn't got the money for the train fare to get home.
And the hitchhiking worked, did it?
Yes, it did work, yes. Probably got about... to St Edmunds and got about halfway and got out, and then I can remember, I think I only did it about a couple of times, but the first time I did it, I think I got about three hitches, hitch lifts, and then got into, and then Once I got into London, I got enough to get on the bus or the tube to where we were living at the time.
And you were in uniform when you hitched?
No, we were in civilian clothes then.
Did they really put bromide in the tea?
I think they must have done. I can still visualise it. It seemed to have a sort of peculiar colour about it, but you drank it and you got used to it. These enormous buckets of it. And you soon got used to it.
What effect on you was the bromide supposed to have?
The bromide was to sort of calm you down sexually and about you.
Did it?
Yes, I think it must have done. You're too busy trying to keep up with the training, actually.
Did you find the basic training hard?
No, I didn't. Most of it came fairly easy to me. I had difficulty with the rifle firing, 303 rifle firing, and the things that you did there, because I have a lazy eye. And the left eye just will not close up of its own accord, and in the end to actually pass the rifle training, I had to wear a shield, a black shield over the eye, and I think this is possibly the reason that they sorted me out to become a machine gunner, because it didn't matter which eye you use.
What we sometimes nowadays hear about bullying or sadism towards recruits in the army. Was there anything of that that you came across?
I can honestly say that I don't remember anything like that, or not particularly with our group of recruits, and most of them, I was doing 5 years, most of them the National Service just doing their 2 years, and I can't honestly recall any bullying, and the NCOs with their shouting and what have you, just knocking us into shape, and I can't remember any bullying or sadism. But funny enough, either I can't remember any of us sort of having a punch up in the bad room. It seemed to be a pretty good intake, you know. Friendly, very friendly, and they were Londoners, there were Norfolk, there were Suffolk people, there were Hertfordshire people. One or two Scotsmen, I believe, as well. But I don't remember any sort of